going to be ministering this morning. I had started a series that the Lord gave me some things to start to minister on. Really, it's called The Triumphant Christ. And really, we talked about and we looked at the fact in the beginning of the series, dealing with Jesus, you know, and his death, burial, and resurrection. But we're mostly, what we're dealing with here is really is our identification with his triumph. And that is the success of the church. It's our identification. Now, it is more than just knowing, saying the Bible says that, you know, we're this or we're that. You know, I remember I used to think years ago when I first came in the kingdom, there was a lot of teaching at that time which dealing with righteousness. And we're the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And it was amazing because some people got a hold of its purpose. See, there's a purpose for you to know that. And the purpose is not for you to know it so you can, well, you know, I'm the righteousness of God and, you know, and I saw people do this. I remember as a young Christian. People didn't do right, live right. Well, they'd say, well, I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Well, I mean, they had zero revelation what that thing was even about. See, knowing what a scripture says and knowing what it's for is another thing. And most of the church world, and I found this out, a lot of the spirit-filled church world knows a lot of scriptures, but don't know what they're for. Oh, they quote them and they say things. Applied knowledge is the only worthwhile knowledge. Any other knowledge isn't worthwhile. It's not any good. Randall Greer said, you know, that concerning things, he said, you can quote all the things you want, make all the confessions you want, but he said, you know, you're going to have what you do, not what you say. So you can say something, but if your actions are different, say, no matter how much knowledge you have, what you do is what you're going to end up with. What you do with that knowledge. See, this is the important thing. So one of the things that I want to know is this, is how to apply things. That's what I want to know. What is the purpose of my position in Christ Jesus? What's my purpose in it? What is it? What am I supposed to do with this being in Christ thing? What am I doing with it? It doesn't matter. I'm in Christ. No, I'm born again, so I'm going to heaven. That's really nice, but you may be the biggest problem in the earth. you may work more for the devil than anybody in the crowd. See, just because you're born, thank God, you're on your way to heaven, but what's your purpose here? Most Christians don't have a purpose. They don't even know what they're called for. They read the Bible and everything, but really, not much about their life. Even if they live a good life, they're good people, but they don't have purpose. See, there's one thing, is, you know, I wanted to know what God wanted me to do in life. And I know what my purpose is. And one of the things, when you know your purpose, you're going to find this out. People are always trying to drag you to their purpose. Or get you to, you know, people come along. They want you to be what they're called to be because they don't want to do it. They want you to do that. Well, I mean, think about it. You go to majority of the church world. The Bible says this, that the apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher, they were given for the perfection of the saint, for the work of the ministry. The perfection of the saints for the work of the ministries, not the apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teacher. It's so the saints do the work of the ministry. Well, most of the church is completely out of line. They're always waiting for somebody else to do the work of the ministry. The pastor's supposed to do the work of the ministry. It's not my job, folks. I ain't going to do your job. You know what happens if I do your job? I shorten my life. I get outside of my calling, and I open the door up for the devil to bring trouble. See, this is what you need. You can close the door to a lot of things. See, I find, when Jesus told Kenneth Hagin back in 1987 in a vision that he had, and he said this to him, he said, my people never have to pray for my blessing if they're in my perfect will, because my full blessing is on my perfect will. So I know when things, you know, it doesn't mean you're not going to run into trouble as a Christian. You are. There's a devil in this world. He don't like you. And he has a lot of followers, and even some of them are in the church. And they try to distract you, and they try to do things. But you can live and a place of rest and peace and joy where you're in the will of God. Where the attacks come, you can close the door on them. So you want to come to that place. You got to know, you know, you're going to face trials and tribulations. They're in the world. Jesus said so. In the world, there's trouble. If you haven't noticed, there's no such thing. You will never come to a great place of spirituality where you won't have trouble anymore. The only one that that's called is called being dead. When you die and they put you in a box, your spirit goes to heaven and we throw you in that body in the ground. And then we're rid of you. Now, folks, well, see, that's the end. That's where trouble ends in the earth here. But while you're here, now nobody up in heaven's going through any of that kind of stuff. But the stuff that you're in the earth here, you're dealing with the devil. And so we're in a thing here. We got a problem. We got a warfare. We got stuff going on. Now, last week we did teaching. And what we taught on last Sunday was really entering God's presence. In other words, and I want you to get this thing clear because there's so many books out here where people are trying to get into God's presence. And I want you to understand that if you have the Holy Spirit in you, the presence of God is in you. The presence of God is all around us today, right here. You walk out the door of the church, God is present everywhere. I mean, in the Old Testament, David knew it. David said, where can I go to get away from you? He said, even I go down to hell. You see the people in hell, God's present. God's present everywhere. But how many people know the presence of God? How many people are conscious of the presence of God? Now, I want you to get this. You need to understand this. If you want to move concerning the presence of God, you got to start to walk by faith, whether you feel anything, see anything, or anything. Number one, you got to start living a life like God is present with you and in you. You got to start living a life. You need to take up a prayer life in the same manner. This is really where a lot of people see. Last week we were talking about our emphasis last week is about prayer, about praying. Coming in contact. What we need to do is come into contact with the presence of God in us. God is going to reveal himself to you through your spirit. And if you're not spiritually conscious, I don't care what you do in your stuff. You're not going to hear from God and you're just going to have to follow basically what you hear on the outside. And we need to understand this. We need to become more sensitive in the realm of our own human spirit. Because the Holy Spirit in you, he ministers or talks and really fellowships with your spirit, not with your mind, not with your body. He doesn't do that. Goosebumps don't mean the Holy Ghost is moving. You can get goosebumps because you get around air conditioning. You can get goosebumps for all kind of reasons. But see, people, you always sit in a meeting, they get a feeling, and the feeling means God's there. You know, you should know what God's doing before you get the feeling. If you need a feeling to identify it, you're not sensitive on the inside. You've got to become sensitive on the inside. In other words, Kenneth Hagin used to talk, he used to say, become inside-minded. And I find, see, that's the truth. You've got to become inside-minded. What's God saying? What's God saying to do? You know, I hear here today, I look out here and you hear minister people saying all these different things God's saying to do. And I find out, I go and spend time with God. I can't get that at all. It's just like that was, you know, what happened with the last election. All these prophets, so-called prophets in prophecy, and Trump's going to be the president, blah, blah, blah. I prayed and I couldn't run into that nowhere in the spirit. I couldn't get that nowhere. And so I knew this. People aren't listening to the spirit realm. They're moved by what they see and what they want. You know, I've learned this. It isn't just about what Ed wants. And see, we have used, this is one of the things that we're going to deal with today because of the teachings that were given to us, which were very good teaching and stuff over the years, at least that I went through, dealing with who we are in Christ and those things were very good teachings. One of the problems, though, arose, and the Lord's been dealing with me about this over the last probably over a year. The church took the things that were revealed to us and became very self-centered with these revelations. Not outward, they became inward. It's about me getting what I want, me having the things that I like, me doing getting this and that. It's about, we became like, I'm concerned about my health, but the next guy's health, you know. If he asks for prayer, I'll pray for him. But I ain't going to be near as serious about his health as I am mine. We don't understand the position we've been given by God. We've been given a position to be like him. Last time I checked, he was an intercessor. And he was a priest. And I said this before. We jumped on the king ministry. We're kings. Ha, 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 we're kings. Yeah, well, the church never entered the priesthood ministry. We're kings and priests. We haven't used the authority in our place in Christ as priests. We haven't used it in that manner. We have emphasized it. We have gotten overemphasized on one side. And you know what it leads to? Trouble. Anything that's overemphasized, it'll eventually cause problems. Like the overemphasis of finances, money. It became a thing that has become a problem in the church. It's a problem for many people. They're money-minded. More money-minded than God-minded. They have now, you know, that having money is godliness. The Bible speaks right against it, but it doesn't matter. Once you're deceived and you fall for something and you overemphasize that, then that holds you. So there's only really one thing that changes that, and that's God. And people need to get, this is why we need a move of God. Most of the church world is not going to find the presence of God if somebody else can't bring it into manifestation. Because most of the church and most Christians are too unspiritual to do anything about it. Now, I'm not saying this to give anybody a hard time. It's just the way that it is. And you must recognize that. If I know what's going on, then I have a responsibility to do something about it. See, we have today, we have the complaining church. They know what the problem is, but they do nothing about it. It's everybody else. If they do this and they do that and they straighten this out, they straighten that. And this guy, this, and it's like, hold it. Knowing problems only shows one sign. If I know what's going on, wouldn't I be trying, what do we do about this? What do we do? Well, there's one thing as we know is, you know, they're already jumping in all the election stuff again, all over again, you know. And there's one, man, I'm just shut off to the election stuff. I don't want to hear any of them about it. I don't want to hear any of them about the election stuff. You know, I don't want to hear about, and then the next 2 years, the next 2 years, if we did what we did the 2 years prior to this, let me say, well, Jesus better come quick because the church is going to be run over in America. There needs to be change. Now, in dealing with change, you need to understand this. The number one, I talked about this, the number one change that needs to be made is you. That's number one. Here's one thing. You cannot start moving toward the presence of God without it changing you. It's an impossibility. It's like I said last week. When Moses went up on the mountain, got in the presence of God, he was never the same again. He was so changed by that presence and so overwhelmed by it, God was going to send him out to head to the land. And he said, God, if you don't go with me, I ain't going. See, he got in the presence of God and he said, I don't want something else. He didn't say, I want a ministry. I want a this. I want a that. What his longing was to be in the presence of God. God turned the man into an intercessor. This guy went up on the mountain, and I'll tell you what, he saved Israel on a number of occasions from being destroyed. Why? God changed him. He made him something. He made him something on that. He made him a minister to those people. He made a leader out of it. See, we have very few leaders today in the church world. Big names don't make leaders. There are not many people that are really over in the area of they really see the condition of our nation and what's going on. And you know what? You're not going to see it by looking. You won't find it on the news. You will not listen to somebody's, you know, some preacher or off this. You're not going to find out. You got to get in hooked up with God to see how he views things. You must do that. That you have to do. It's not something that God's asking if you'd like to. If you really want to make a difference in his last days, you're going to have to get into the presence of God. You see, we have drifted away. I mean, when I look from 1980 to when I came into the kingdom till today, man, it's a whole different church world. It isn't even close to the same. Not even close to the same. Not even similar. If I look from the time that I was a little kid growing up, even up to the 80s, there has been so much lost in integrity of people. There's so much lost that's been gone of people in the past had to people today. Today, you can't even take Christians at their word. You can't take Christians at their word. They'll tell you anything. I mean, over the years, if I would have wrote down everything that people have said to me that they were going to do or this and that, yet never did it, I mean, I'm going to tell you, I have a book this thick. Christians are just downright lie. Now, they mean well when they say it, but you know, they're like the rest of the world. They'll say nice things at a time, but something else comes along that they see. It's like a little kid. You ever watch how little children are? They're down here and they're playing with this and something else comes by and they just go. There's the Christian. Right there they are today. Ministries have learned to use that. They can get you on TV, they can get you watching things, and they can get you and start to control a lot about you. There's a lot of psychology to that. You need to understand this stuff. There's more psychology in ministry today than there is spirituality. And we need to understand that. Now, I'm not knocking them, but see, when we let the world come in and see, the world's doing this, so we do that. I mean, you know, there's a minister who, he said and did some things years ago that I used to listen to him. I don't listen to him anymore because I don't like the spirit that's on him. You know, he says a lot of truthful things, but I will not listen to him because his spirit's wrong. His motivations are wrong. A little leaven leavens a whole lump. Gotta watch it. I don't like, but anyhow, this guy came along. Well, he made one statement. First of all, I heard him. He made this statement one day. He had a big youth ministry and he said, I see what the world's doing to reach the youth, so I take what they are doing, and then I turn around, I put scripture to it and do things. And I thought when he said that, isn't that interesting? The world is the one that we have to look to. We look at the world. Today the church world follows that principle. You know, the world uses their smoke machines, they use their lights and flashes. So what do? We're going to do this, see? We can't get the glory to show up, let's fake it. The world likes it. And we're trying to reach a level of spirituality accepting what they do down here. We will not reach that. You can't. You know, God might do it for some heathen out here don't know better or some guy who knows better. But the spirit-filled people are doing it today. We're not putting on a show for the world. They got better shows in Vegas than you can put on in your churches. They got better light shows and smoke than you've ever seen. They got more lights. They got more stuff going on. And if I want to see a show, I would rather buy a ticket from Vegas than I would to go to a church. I don't need that. Why? It is a distraction from the presence of God. Church is not a visual place. It's a place to hear. And we need to come back. That's why there's so much is lost today. Oh, God should, you know, God will show up any place he can. He'll do as much as he can. But that don't mean what's going on lots of times is right. God is trying. Eventually the door will close on it. Eventually. I just wonder how Peter got those big revivals going without the smoke machine and the lights. I can't figure out how he did it. See, it comes down to this, as God's dealt with me about, you know. Will my word perform it, or do you have to do something else? Is my word really accurate? Will I do, when I tell you to pray for a nation, you think it'll change, or I'm just telling you just to do this? Do you really, I can say this, most of the church world, they don't believe their praying's doing any good. Because they're griping about everything that goes on. Don't believe. You get over the thing. You got to come to the place where, hold it, I'm praying. God, if anything, I need to change and you need to change. See, I can't change you. You can't change me. There's only one that can do that. And when we go to the presence of God, and we need to know the importance of that, because if I don't change, if I'm outside of things, now I'm not talking about you're just in some kind of blatant sin, but if we're not, the closer I walk to the perfect will of God, the better all things are going to be. And this is what it is. The Bible's not a general book, but it's become today. It has become a guidelines for 475 different Christianities. I go in this town and hear different gospels preached in different churches. And all of them hang a shingle outside, call themselves Christian. They put crosses on them. They don't mean a thing. They mean nothing. None of that's meaningful. The only thing that's meaningful is truth. And Jesus Christ is the truth. You know, when they say to you, you know, like they tell you, do you really believe the Bible's literal? Well, if it's not, what's the purpose of it? It's of no value if it's not. What do I do if it's not literal? What do I do if it don't mean what it says? You see, and you need to understand, when we're saying that in this world today, you are running cross grain. You're the guy with the chalk on the chalkboard going, and you know what Christians say? They don't like what I'm doing, so it must not be right, because the world don't like it. And a lot of Christians don't like it, so we want them to like it. So now how can I take the squeak out of this thing and have them listen to me? You're going to have to change. You're going to have to stop one message that goes cross-grain with them. You're going to have to find a message that makes them feel good. You know, I got born again because the Holy Spirit dealing with me at work and dealt with me the things of the fact that I was going to end up in hell and my family was going to end up there too because of the direction I was going. Man, you talk about a squeaky chalk on a chalkboard. The Holy Spirit did not change the message because I was uncomfortable. And you know what? The power of the Word of God changed me. That's why we have so many Christians today, so-called quote Christians, unchanged lives. Most of them ain't Christians at all. They just came, somebody said, say a prayer. Their hearts weren't in. Just because somebody made a confession. There's one thing I know this. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. When a guy don't change, he didn't get the salvation I got. We were singing today about being changed. We live in the unchanged church realm today. It's an unchanged church realm that says people are Christians unchanged. That's not Christianity. Christianity is founded in a changed people. That's what it's founded in. Now everybody has to grow up, but I'm going to tell you, ain't nobody got saved and don't want to have nothing to do with God. Nobody got born again and doesn't want anything to do with God, don't have anything to do with the world, don't have anything going to church, don't have anything. And I'll tell you what, I accepted Jesus. Yeah, you accepted one of the other Jesuses Paul talked about with the church at Galatia. You're preaching another Christ. We're preaching another Christ. A Christ that makes our world uncomfortable. The reason it is, and let's face it, we don't want to be persecuted. We don't want to be persecuted. We don't want people not to like us. We don't want that kind of thing. Hallelujah. Well, but we need to be able, is number one, as people, how can I change? What would give me boldness? See, there's one thing. Remember Moses, the guy that didn't even want to go up and see Pharaoh, made his brother talk to him? After he comes off the mountain, he sets his brother in his place. He became a leader off the mountain. What changed him? What made him? See, we're trying to be changed just by reading a book, just by making some confessions. I'm just telling you, that's not enough. You need to connect with the presence of God. In the presence of God, you will be changed. There is power. As we go through, I don't know how far we'll get today in this. The Lord's going a little different than what I thought. But This is why the church needs to meet together physically. This on the air junk gotta go. And if people want to have the, I'll have church on the air, I'll tell you what, when Jesus comes, they'll have to be here watching church on the air. Because they ain't gonna meet him in the air. The church, we need to understand the power that happens when believers meet together. I remember when I first came into the kingdom, listening to Kenneth Hagin teaching other ministers, and they talked about the fact, they said, you know, in our churches, we know this, the people who consistently come to church, you always have less problems counseling things you have to do with them. The most of the time are the unfaithful people, they're the ones that consume all the ministry. And you know what we do today? We try to have special things for the unfaithful. We chase them around, try to make it as convenient, and let's put it all on TV so they can stay in bed, wake up in the morning, eat a donut, and they could sit there and look and then go to the bathroom and set their phone sit out there and have the streaming thing while they're taking a shower and ain't listening to it at all. And fake like they've been at church. Do you know what church requires out of you? Commitment. Streaming requires no commitment out of you whatsoever. Requires no commitment. You don't even have to pay attention. You can sit and fall asleep, do what you want. There's nobody around to look at you and say, you know what? They're an idiot. No, you sit there and act like you're all right and then go run around and lie to people and tell them, you know, you're spiritual, yeah, and you know God and all that kind of stuff. You think Jesus don't know? You know what? They have preached such a gospel today that people, Jesus Christ is not real anymore. Judgment is no longer real anymore. It's a fake thing. And the worst part of it is this. There's no love for anybody else or the concern of anybody else. You don't have Christianity without the love of God. It does not exist. The compassion and care about other people, it does not exist. There is no such thing as Christianity without the love of God. There is no. It does not exist. Crazy man John in 1 John said, if you don't love your brother, you have no eternal life in you. You know who he wrote that to? Christians. Oh, my God. Supposedly Mr. Singapore didn't say he wrote that when part two was written to the world, I guess. That don't belong to us. No, it belongs to us. Love is the demand of the Christian life. Everything works off that principle. You've got to be able to look at somebody else and say, you know what, their need is as great as my need. The Bible says we're supposed to look at our brother in that manner, that their need's greater, he said, than ours. Oh, that's a new Christianity today. See, it's a new Christianity today. Because it isn't it. If we worked as hard, and we're not talking about brother, we talk about today, and well, everybody's your brother. No, they're not. Not everybody's my brother. No, God created all men, but only a certain group are His children. God, not every person's a child of God. They're only a certain bunch. If you look at the letters written in the church, they're talking about the church's conduct to each other. The first place all needs should be met is in the church, not to the world. Not to the world. We've ruined it. The church gave the world everything they wanted, and see, they don't believe you need God to get what you want, because the church has said, no need to join our group, we'll give you everything anyhow. We don't realize what we've done. We're not a group that they want to be a part of. Why? They can have all of our stuff, and that's how the world can see us stuff. They don't see the love of God. That's not what they're seeing. They're sinners, and I can get my need met. And I don't have to change my life. I can still keep doing drugs. And I can still do this and that. And I still get my needs met. There's no demand. Love puts a demand on things. There's something somebody got to do. There's a requirement. You know, I mean, our government. And I mean, we can't throw this at the Democrats. I mean, the Republicans did this here. You'll start this thing. Let's get more money for not working than you do when you work. Now let me ask, how has that worked out? Then on top of it, unemployment, you don't have to look for a job anymore if you're on unemployment. You don't have to look for a job here in Pennsylvania. You don't have to look for a job. You can just stay on, as long as the government just keeps this, the federal government keeps throwing that money, and they're talking about throwing more to it. Well now, what do you think the center's gonna do? Well, probably half of them are Christians are on it too. But what are they gonna do? They see a free ride. See, Christians see a free ride. The world, look, this is free ride. I've had a Christian before, you know, that wouldn't live right in her life and that stuff, and he ended up there getting assistance and he getting all kind of things. Came to me one day and said how God's blessing them through that. I said, it ain't God bless you. I said, any heathen can get from the government what you get from the government. I said, it ain't something that's given special to you. I said, you lazy, anybody lazy, they can get it. And that's what they were, lazy. They didn't have a problem that they couldn't do anything. They had the problem they wouldn't do anything. And you know what they did? They went in Lebanon from church to church. And I even had a minister, who's a Christian believing in Jesus, give me a call and thought, well, you know, I believe we can just really help these people. We do. I said, they're all yours, baby. Have a big time. And you know what? One day that knucklehead gave me a call back and said, well, you know, they are really a problem and they're doing it. I said, don't talk to me about it. I said, I don't want to hear from you. I said, when I told you what the problem is, you thought I was a liar. And you went and said, took them. I said, now you took them. You live with it and you're the problem now. You were told, but you wouldn't listen. You're Mr. Oh, I'm so compassionate. We have killed people's desire to change. See, in the church, when the church preaches a gospel that doesn't deal with sin, what happens? There's a people who don't turn from sin because they're not, they don't have the need. You belong to Jesus, you're okay. There is no such thing as a gospel that doesn't have a demand. Every promise that's in the Bible has some kind of thing that you have to have that you do to receive that promise. It don't fall on you. Have you noticed? They don't just happen. And see, we need to understand this. Turn with me. I want you to look. We're going to go to Colossians. Turn to Colossians, the second chapter. Now, you know, the Bible says this to us. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and to find grace to help in time of need. Now, I want you to think about that, what this says. Let us therefore, God said in Hebrews 4:16, let us come boldly to the throne of grace. We go to the throne of grace. He said, we're supposed to come boldly to the throne of grace. Now, the average believer is not going to come boldly to the throne of grace. We have the thing, when we miss it, usually people, the average Christian is going to back off. They're going to back off from God. They're not going to be bold. Now, the reason for that is, God says, come boldly to the throne of grace to receive mercy. Well, what do you need mercy for? You don't need mercy if you did good. You need mercy. But see, even though we can sit and say, well, you know, I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, and I'm this and I'm that. Well, how bold are you when it comes to prayer? How bold are you concerning God in prayer when you go to Him, when you're making petition, or you're praying for somebody else? You know, the idea is, I said the other week, let us go boldly to the throne of grace. It isn't just about me going to the throne of grace. I can pray for others and bring them to the throne of grace. Well, see, how bold. How bold are you when you bring somebody else? Do you, all you see is their fault? See, as I said before, I said that Dr. Wilford Wright said this. He said, when it comes to God and His presence, are you more problem conscious or power conscious? Most Christians and most spirit-filled Christians are problem conscious. We got to break that. So we know this, that even though the Bible tells us all these things we are in Christ, we don't have the confidence we should. Why is that? There has to be a reason. Well, see, we drifted away from something. And one of the things we drifted away because it got overly on the side of confession. And we try to do everything by confession. You can't do everything from confession. There's number one, I don't have a personal relationship with God by confession. That doesn't bring confession. We know very little about communion or fellowship. Actually fellowshipping with God. In other words, when you come to the presence of God, you know, where are you in this? Are you insecure? Are you going to Him? Are you confident how He likes or wants you to talk in His presence? Are you coming to Him as if, well, you know, really, sort of as a beggar? People do that all the time. They come more from, you know, I'm a nobody and you're God. Well, there's no faith in that because there's no principle of faith for that in the Bible. So knowing who and what we are, God wants us to know who and what we are so we have confidence. Number one, I don't care how good you've been, you still have no right based on your goodness to have confidence before God. So therefore, if I missed it, that shouldn't change a thing either. Because your goodness can't take you there, and your badness never took you there either. So, how do we get before God? Because see, we have a desire to be changed, and I've watched this. I've listened to the preaching about change, and we do that, and we can preach what the Word says, what we ought to do and ought not to do, and everybody still does it. Something isn't working. And there's one thing. We never went on the mountain. We're doers. We're always trying to do something. We're always trying to, if I do this or do that, or I'm a good person, I'm doing these things, I'm doing this, I'm being a nice person, I'm being a nice Christian. Yeah, all those things might be nice. But we don't ever get changed. There's things. How many of you have things about the flaws in your life that you would really like to see change? You can see them. If you didn't raise your hand, you're a liar. We'll have an altar call for you later. We all have things in our life we need changed. And I found this out. Just reading the Word and just making confessions don't change a lot of things. It's like Moses. Moses became a different man in the presence of God. And I found that out in this past year. Start connecting to the presence of God, that it's here, but I wasn't connected to it. Connected to God in me. Connected in me. Can God say anything to you that He would like to? See, He's not in a critical mode or criticizing. God will speak to you truth. He's not going to lie to you about your condition. God is never leading you from the standpoint He wants you to come to change because He just doesn't like the way you like you or something like that. God is always does it for your benefit. See, never want something more than you have if you don't want to change. If the church doesn't change right now, there will be no more move of God than we have right now. This is it. God's not going to change. He don't change. God is not holding back revival, the move of God. God's been telling me this for the past 5 years. I'm not holding anything back. The church is. Well, I found out I was a roadblock in things. And so are you. But if you don't see that, you can pray night and day for a move of God. But it will not come because there are requirements to bring that in. Now, I'm just going to tell you this. Not everybody's going to meet the requirement to bring it in. But I'll tell you what. If people will start meeting requirements, and it don't have to be, it's not going to be everybody. There's always a remnant that'll meet the requirement. The whole bunch never does. The whole bunch never meets the requirement. But God will pour out His Spirit and bless the whole bunch. Because somebody decides to be a priest instead of a king. Most Christians and most ministers are trying to be kings. They want something to serve them. They want people to serve them. They want things. We serve God. we will never step into the power of our authority as kings till we become priests. Then, I'm going to tell you what, there's going to be some anointed kings around. I'm just going to tell you this. There is going to be some anointed kings around. You know, it's one thing that always amazed me about John G. Lake's ministry. John G. Lake got to the point, I'm going to tell you what, when it came to anointing, he was the king. But I went, you know what? His ministry was priest. That's why he was anointed. That's why he had such authority. See, we don't know anything about that today. We don't know. We had got lopsided over here on this side. There was nothing a matter with the fact we wanted that anointing and that thing, but we were searching at it. We thought if we just went after the king thing and went after the king, we would just get it. No, it's not. You got two sides on this thing. And we're way lopsided. And the Lord started showing me the priesthood ministry. He started talking to me about intercession, about praying for others, and about putting other people's needs first, and about what he wanted to do, what he wants to bring to pass, his desire to bless people. He doesn't look at America like we look at America. He doesn't see Democrat or Republican. You know what God says? This is a place that I could bless. He don't look at people and all their evil and the crazy things they're doing. He's not looking that way. That's us. And that's what leads us away from doing his will. Because we're so full of what the guy next to us is doing. When we don't realize we're worse than he is because we know we're not supposed to do that and do it anyway. See, I told you guys, I've had to do a lot of repenting. I'm going to say, yeah, God, guilty as charged. Guilty as charged. If anybody wants to change America and bring blessing to America, it's God. He's more than, I don't care if you took all of our desire here together, we ain't even close to his. I get in his presence when I see what he wants to do. And then I see all the Christians with their foot on the brake saying, we want to move a God. And they're the last ones that want God to move. No, just stay the same. I want to stay the same and you move. It doesn't work that way. Hallelujah. And get over it. Change is good. Change is good. But see, I found, like I told you guys before, I found getting in the presence of God started to change me. And I thought, man, God, I was seeing a lot of things. Not like it should be seen. You know, there's things that I saw sort of in line with the Word, but my heart wasn't like God's heart was concerning it. It wasn't the same. I still had my hand in there. I still had my ideas and my plans. I still had the holding on to that thing. And see, getting into the presence of God, this is what it is. God wants you to bring you close. So you can be everything that he wants you to be. So you can be everything. He wants to fulfill your heart's desire. He's not bringing in you into his presence to slap you. God wants to use you to change a world that needs change. We need to look at the world and we need to look at our nation with compassion. We need to look at the people that we've been criticizing and talking about and look at them. God wants to win those people. They're human beings that are lost and going to hell. They're doing what they're doing because there's an enemy who is stealing, killing, and destroying. And they're trapped in it. And much of the church is trapped by the same enemy. Much of the church is trapped by the same enemy. People can't make right decisions. They're bound by demonic powers that the church is not dealing with. Church is trying to change people by doing good things for them when the person's bound by the devil and they don't see anything they're doing in other, give me something and I'm gone. Because that demon that is dominating them, they have no light to change. Preaching without the anointing is wind blowing. Needlessly. Producing nothing. Kenneth Hagin used to do this. Kenneth Hagin, he would go out and do meetings and stuff with places. And I got to know the one guy that when I was at Rhema, the one pastor, Wanda and I got to be very close friends with them. But anyhow, he talked to me. He was his evangelistic director. He set everything up for Kenneth Hagin when they go out for meetings to different places. And he said, there's one thing he said I found out. He said, Kenneth Hagin was the hardest man to work for because he would not move till God said so. And he said, it was terribly hard because he said, everybody else is planning years ahead and all their stuff they're doing. They're all running around doing all their stuff, making their plans. And he would come and he said, he'd come and say to me, we're going to have a meeting down at this certain town here at the end of this year. But he wouldn't give him a date, wouldn't give him a time or anything. And he said, we're going to go down there and that stuff. And we're going to go. And he said, I would go to Brother Hagin and say, Brother Hagin, you know, the place we want to use down there, we want to rent down there to have those meetings and that stuff. Those places, man, you'd be a year, 2 years in advance. You've got to have in those time periods to do things down there. And he said, Brother Hagin would just look at him and smile and walk away. Pay no attention to him. He'd go back to Kenneth and he said, Kenneth, he would say, when God speaks to me, we'll move. And he'd pray about it. See, this might sound funny to you, but do you do this in your life with God? See, his success was based on that. He didn't move till God moved. Today, that's all we do is move without God. You know, when in the 80s I came to Christ, we were stupid like that. We want to find out what God did to do before we did it. Those days are gone. But I'm going to tell you, they're going with God to the same way. Why? It required walking by faith. And he said this, I learned how to walk by faith. But he said, never one time. He said, something Brother Hagin would wait. He'd say, in the natural, there's no way you could have that meeting there. And Brother Hagin said, God told us to go out there. This is the date. We're going to do this and start these meetings. And he said, you go. And he said, you could get the building exactly when you wanted it and everything worked in exactly. God wasn't just working with Brother Hagin. Brother Hagin, God's working through teaching them faith. See, we have this crazy idea today, and it's untrue. See, if you walk by faith, things get easy. No, they're not. God is not. Why? Because you're in a world of trouble. You need to know how to walk by faith when the trouble's on, when it's tight. Because if you don't, you're another problem person. You're just another problem. It's when things get tough, that's when we find out who has faith and who don't. When the problem comes knocking on my door, Ed gets to examine himself. Most people, the first thing they do is start yelling for somebody else to pray. What are you going to do any good? Because they haven't prepared themselves. They're trying to get, somebody else get this thing for me so I don't have to deal with me. You know, I believe in praying for people. But lots of times people are just always, they're not walking in that place of preparation. Now in Colossians, I'll read this to you. Colossians, we're going to start here. There's some things that we need to see, wonderful things. Because Colossians tells us a numbers of wonderful things concerning our. In Colossians, the second chapter, in verse 6, it says, as you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him. Now as you received Him, He said, so you're supposed to walk in Him. Now if you read, like in the New Testament, talks about our walk. Our walk is this, is what we do, our Christian walk in everyday life, what we're doing. In other words, he tells us this, therefore receive Christ the Lord, so walk in Him. See, we're supposed to preach, this one thing is preaching a gospel. We need to preach people a gospel that you live, not a gospel you just accept Jesus. We need to have the guts to tell people, look, if you ain't going to, I tell people this, if you ain't going to follow it, don't bother. You have to have the walk. Why? Because the walk is where your faith is performed and you get manifestations. You don't get manifestations not doing. You don't get manifestations just because you walk around and said you believe. James said, faith without works or corresponding action, it's dead. You start acting like what you believe. In other words, this is what we're doing. We're here at church today because, you know, we have a certain thing, a walk that we do, that we're tied to. But listen, we're in a world that don't have this tie. They don't have, much of the church world doesn't have this commitment. Now we're not throwing them under the bus. I want to see things changed. We're meeting because we want to bring change. How can God use me to bring a spiritual change to this nation? Not just people who get stuff, but people, I'd actually change people. That's what we want. See, I came to Christ during a time of a move of God, and man, we had a lot of changed people. A lot of changed people. And that's what we want. You can fill churches as many people you want. If it ain't changed, send them home and go sell cars somewhere or something. Dear God, what's the point? Change people. That's what we want to do. This is our desire. Now, it's a walk. He said, now this walk is rooted and built up in Him. Now listen, it's rooted and built up in Him. See, He's the root, or He is the source. Remember Jesus said, I'm the vine, you're the branches? It's rooted in Him. See, my Christianity, my Christ life is not rooted in me. See, that's why the Christian teachings that became like just me and Jesus stuff, that ain't what it is. No, it's about Jesus, and thank God I got to go for the ride. Hallelujah. I'm just a branch to this thing. It is His. He's the source of life. He's the source of power. He's the source of glory. It is Him. If God does anything through me, we must give Him the glory, because that's where it came. The source. Always become a source. See, people are disconnected today from the source. They're not connected to the source, you know. They're connected to a lot of ideologies. They're connected to a lot of things. They're connected to different types of groups and churches and stuff, but not connected to Him. They're connected to other people. Some people get connected to a minister rather than Christ and become connected. See, and we can't, you don't want to do that. You know, like Brother Hagin used to say, he says, follow me like Paul, he says, follows Christ. In other words, you're going to follow Christ. See, he said, you can't follow men because men get off base. Men can get off base. Haven't you noticed? Have you stayed on track all the time? Huh. Why on earth would you expect a minister? This guy's minister, they're going to, and you just follow after. You can't do that. Hallelujah. I'm responsible for my following Christ, not some other man. I am. I'm responsible. Hallelujah. I like the responsibilities. Remember, I like Christ. Hallelujah. Well, he said, rooted and built up in Him, and established in the faith as you have been taught, abounding in it with griping and moaning and complaining. What are you supposed to be abounding in? Thanksgiving. See, you can tell a lot about it. See, I've noticed myself. If I'm not connected to Christ, then it'll just be critical. You start into that thing. You start looking at everything else going on around you. This is a problem. That's a problem. This is a problem. See, I'm not power-minded anymore. I'm all problem-minded. You know, you can sit out here and you can tell people, it's like this one thing is I hate about the news. They're talking about problems all the time. I'm sorry. I'm not problem-oriented. Because problems will limit you. Because everybody has a list of them. God is not moved by problems. God is moved by faith. Do you ever notice David in the Psalms? David would get over sometimes and start, his psalm would start off in a complaint about what's happening to him, and then his psalm would always end, but this is what God's going to do. Here's what Christians do. They start out complaining, and when they get done, they're worse complaining than what they were than when they started. I know, I'm the only guy that ever did that. You guys never did. No. He said, with thanksgiving. In other words, you must keep yourself here. See, this isn't something. This is something we do in Him. In other words, He is a source. Even though you might know what the Word says, but He is a source that you must stay connected to. Because in Him, you can stay there. In Him isn't some nice word said. It's a place of presence in Him that you walk and live. It is a source of life. Was there anything that I noticed? You know, I read the one book that was published, you know, The Big Thick Job with John G. Lake book. And I read that book a couple times. I read through there. It has his sermons and different things in it, but about his life and all that stuff. And I read things, and I was always amazed by the man. And God started to deal with me about things, and I got over and praying and asked God, because I wanted to move of God, and I began to see God. I've been just setting everything else aside after God. God, I want to know what's going on and happen. And then the Lord took me over and began to speak to me about John G. Lake's ministry. And I went over and started reading his book. I can't believe I read that book before. Because now, in the light of things God has shown me, when I look at that book, I could see this. We're not going to end up where we want to be with what we're doing. When you see, there was not... I was walking outside a place of light. And even when I saw things on light, I thought they were good. I was seeing dimly. See, it's one thing when I began to look at John G. Lake and the power of God. People don't realize how humble that man was. See, all we're interested in is the miracles. But why did they? You know, John G. Lake said this. He said, in Africa, he said, I recognized when I stepped on that continent that an anointing came on me and it wasn't from me. He said, it was from God, but I knew how it got there. He said, other people had prayed and got this thing on me. See, we don't know about these things today. We don't understand about people praying for anointing. And he got under. He talked about his anointing, but he said this. He talked about the move of God in Africa. And he talked about the great move, but then he stopped it and said, you know, if me and the other ones who were involved in this, if we would have been a little more mature, we could have done a whole lot more with that anointing. And I thought, dear God. Ain't nobody compares to his ministry today, what he did in South Africa. You can take any 10 the biggest ministries and put together. It isn't the amount of money they bring in. It's what he did. Man, God, you talk about miracles? You talk about a supernatural man? I mean, it's like William Seymour. Out there in Los Angeles, California, when they, back in the turn of the century, and a big blowout move of God, a little humble guy down there. God comes on, and Azusa Street, it is just a miraculous thing people haven't ever seen before in their life. Now see, we talk about the move of God. If we can't bring those things to pass, we're not as spiritual as we think we are. These big name ministers aren't as spiritual as they think they are. Why wouldn't they have that? In other words, we have moved away from things that have allowed that to happen. We've moved away. God's not trying to keep us away from it, even though we've been stupid. He's trying to take us back to it. There must be. They must happen. And it isn't enough to say here in church, yeah, we need to do it. What are you going to do about it? See, that's what I had to decide. See, I was praying God and He showed me what I was and I thought, well, what am I going to do about me? What am I going to do about me? I don't care what you know than you hear me saying. Is what are you going to do with it? What are you going to do? See, this is what it comes down to. It's each one of us. What are we going to do with it? What's my part in this? Where do I play in this thing? How important is this thing to you? So, you know, I found this out. I thought I was doing pretty good with God about it. I felt, you know, things important and praying about things. And I found out I wasn't really, my heart wasn't fully in it. There's too many other things that were fully in my heart. We're taking up room. We're taking up room in me because, you know, it's God started to deal with me about priorities. See, wrong priorities lead to wrong walks. It might be good things, but they ain't my walk. And they ain't the one God called me to. What's my walk? See, the Spirit-filled church needs to come back to a Spirit-filled walk. We need to start emphasizing Spirit-filled. We need to bring Spirit-filled back. It's going to make people uneasy, but I want to tell you, it's just like last week when I read in the bulletin last week, and I put there, when the angel May 1920, talked to John G. Lake, he talked at Pentecost, he said, that's the only thing that's going to fill the need of men. That's the only thing it's going to do. Pentecost. The pouring out of the Spirit of God. Speaking in tongues. All those things. People today, they want healing, but they don't want to. Okay, it's all right, but let's keep it on the side here. Let's not get too, you know. Let's keep doctors as God as much as we can. And let's don't get too far over here that God might get miraculous. We don't realize that yielding over to God. You know, Kenneth Hagin said this. He's talking about Christians, a Spirit-filled Christian. He said, there are some Spirit-filled Christians, he said, that won't get healed because they didn't go to a doctor. But he said, there's some of them who are going to die because they went to the doctor. King Asa died because he never even sought God first. He just went off the doctor. He died. You think I was putting the Bible there just for a say? There, yeah, that bad guy. The average Spirit-filled Christian, before they, if something comes up in health in their life, they'll run to the doctor first. And then when they find out what's wrong, let's believe God. God's always second on the totem pole. If he's that high. You know, he is concerning that, and there's probably 10 other things above that on the totem pole. See, we need to come back to this. I'm not saying this to be critical. I examine my life and look, and you have things that you think are important. But you know, in life today, there's a lot of things that we think are important are not important at all. We need to learn to prioritize. And I found this. I couldn't prioritize till I got in God's presence. I didn't see how important certain things were. So see, I ain't going to sit and tell you about what's important. You're going to have to get in the presence of God. You'll find it out. Because you might, I'm going to tell you what. I know this. You go over and you start talking about things you know in your heart and that stuff. And people haven't been there. And then, yeah, well, that's him. It's okay for him. But it's not. Go for God yourself. You need to do that. I can't take you to God. My job is to preach the word. And it's good. We want manifestations of God, but you have to go to it. I can't. Hallelujah. I can pray for you. I can take you from the standpoint in the presence of God to pray and uphold you. I can do those things to help you. But when all of it comes down to it, it's your response. It's your response. See, we need to come to that. So we're down here. We're talking about, so we're supposed to be abounding in thanksgiving. He says, beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy, empty deceit, according to the traditions of men, according to the basics of the principle of the world, and not according to Christ. Boy, are we there today? The philosophies and all the stuff it's in. It's all here. But then, no, he don't say, well, you know, we're looking down the road and here's where you guys are and you idiots. It's too bad. I give up. Then he says this. Now listen. Listen what he says about Jesus. This is wonderful about Jesus. For in him, this Jesus, hey, this is our Lord. In him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead. Now see what he says. In Jesus is all the fullness of the Godhead. Listen what he says. Bodily. In Christ is the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Verse 10. And you are complete in him who is the head of all principality and power. Jesus, glorified body, and houses the fullness of the Godhead. The glorified body. Just think about that. And the Bible calls us the what of Christ? The body of Christ. Do you know in the church as a whole, the church as a whole, indwells the fullness of the Godhead. I mean, meditate on that for a week or two. You might get up and take a running spell here or there. And if you don't, you definitely haven't meditated long enough. Hallelujah. We're the body of Christ. In his body is the fullness of the Godhead. Remember, like, you know, Jesus said in Matthew and upon his departure in Matthew 28:18 said, and Jesus came and spoke to them. The disciples said, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. So you guys get going. He says to the body, see, it's the fullness. Where's all the authority? Is he sitting on it? Is he putting his hands and he's sitting on it on the throne and it's in his hands? In the earth, the authority is here. It's not coming. It's here. But see, we haven't connected to it. We have not connected to the authority. We need to understand. So, listen, we're complete in him. We're complete. I'm just thinking like, he said, you're complete in him who is the fullness of God. Now, he's not talking about here you as being perfect. We're complete. When we accepted Jesus Christ and we came into the kingdom as a newborn babe, you're born just like a child. We look at a child when it's born and it has all of its fingers, toes and everything. Everything is good and that child's healthy. It's a complete. Now, being complete, when it grows up, what's going to happen? It's going to be a complete human being. We're complete in him. That don't mean we have come to the point we're right where we're supposed to be and all that. There's a maturity, a growing up, but we're complete. Everything you need to develop and grow is already in you. See, the love of God shed abroad in your heart. The day you got born again, the love of God was shed abroad in your heart for the Holy Ghost. You shouldn't be trying to look for love and trying to find love. Love is in your nature. It's what you are. It's your nature. It's what we are. That's our only, why? I'm complete. See, everything is in her. In this new nature, when we got born again, is what's in the Godhead. It's the same life of God. It's not something different. It's in you. It's in us, the church. This is not something to make us big-headed. It ought to humble you, the fact. I mean, I think, dear God, if I'd have threw anybody under the bus, it would have been me. Dear God, God comes along, saves me, does all this for me. I haven't done a thing to earn it. I haven't, sits me into this position. See, we're His body. We're the fullness of Him. Remember what we pray out of Ephesians? A revelation we would get. He is the fullness of the body. He's the fullness. The fullness. We're the body. He's the fullness in us. Hallelujah. The fullness is already. We need that revelation. Now, He makes this statement. He is the head over all principality and power. He is the head. Now, I want you to think about this. The devil is not the head over his own kingdom. The reason the devil has gotten so far is because the church thinks he's a formidable force that they haven't been able to deal with, so they quit. And so now they fight people. You know, think about this. In Ephesians, you know these scriptures, Ephesians 6 and 10 through 12, it says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Strong, see, it says in the Lord, or we could say in Christ or in Him. Be strong in Him. See, in Him I could be strong. My strength doesn't derive from me. Hallelujah. But when I meet the devil, I'm supposed to be strong in Christ. There's a union that I need to be in contact. See, when you're not fellowshipping with Christ, that union fades out. And when you have to deal with something, you're trying to deal with it with just you. See, I can have strength to stand because I'm in Him. I can stand. See, He says, what do? We put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. The armor of God. You're supposed to put it on so you can stand. Then He goes, we don't wrestle against flesh and blood. That's all they do today is wrestle flesh and blood. That's all it is. It's a flesh and blood contest. That's all it is. It's about people and what this guy's doing and what that guy does and this guy does. It's a flesh and blood battle. We need to understand if the church doesn't deal with the spiritual condition, there's nothing will change in the natural condition. It will only get worse. People are doing what they do. We're living in a day when demons are running rampant. And the whole problem is, there's so little spirituality to deal with them. It's like I showed you last weekend, where the angel appeared to, in Portland, Oregon. Like I said, you look at Portland, Oregon today. This hellhole up in Portland, Oregon? John G. Lake had a ministry there. He had a ministry there. The devil couldn't get, the angel showed him what was going on. All these demons. He said millions of demons were trying to attack the church in Portland to stop them. And he said they couldn't get through. And he asked the angels, what's going on? And he said, this was what God does for the people that really search after Him and go after Him. I can know this today. The church in America has not gone after God because the devil's loose. See, those millions of demons that were over Portland that couldn't in the 1920s come to there, today they run the town. Those demons, it isn't people. You can go do all you want about those people on the street. You'll not change a thing about their attitudes and whatever else is going on. You can send the army in and make everybody go home and do whatever you want. But I'm going to tell you what, the devil don't leave. The church has the authority to change these things, and the church hasn't done it. Now, we either turn and say, well, you know, I don't know, or we say, hey, you know, I told the Lord, guilty is charged, you know. But doing something about it. I'm going to do something about it. Hold it. I don't need a gang. I didn't run to you guys and say, well, if you'll pray for this or this, maybe we can push this devil back out of here. If you don't want to get, if what I'm preaching to do don't move you to more prayer or anything like that, I don't know what else to say to you, you know, other than, you know, have a nice day. But if you can, with the devil chasing you around. But we have to do something. We have to, we can't wait for somebody else to do things. I can't wait for somebody else to do things. We need to sit down, hey, God, what can I do? What can I change? See, we need to come to that place. What is happening out here? The devil is running the show, and he isn't even in charge of his own kingdom. So what's wrong? Did Jesus get sick and he's fell off the throne and is laying on the ground up there and somebody's trying to resuscitate him? No, but the church fell off their throne and God's trying to resuscitate the church. The church has left its place of authority. Has left that place. The church, because of what's happened in America over years, this stuff didn't start when Obama came in office. This stuff was going on 30 years before that, slowly eating through. I mean, you sit back and read the writings of like Dake. Dake was a man of faith, and Dake talks about back in the 1940s about how the churches were starting to turn. He saw it, and he wrote about it. How the world was getting into the church and starting to change things and that stuff. And he thought the churches were really getting worldly back then. My God, if Dake was alive today, he'd say there is no church. It's gone. Dake would say there's not such a thing as a church. He'd look at most of the spirit-filled church we think's good and say, my God, is that a church? Ah, okay, we're meddling here a little bit, aren't we? I'll tell you. Praise God. But see, we're wrestling against, now, he said, what are we wrestling? We're wrestling against these principalities, powers, rulers of the darkness world, spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. This is the wrestling going on. Who has the authority to deal with this? See, Jesus has all authority. He went and won all the authority over those demons. But see, he's sitting in heaven. He told the church, you cast the devil out. He ain't going to come and cast the devil out. He ain't going to do it. You can ask and pray for him. You can ask God to do something about the city. You can do that. What are we going to do spiritually? The church needs to take its spiritual place and deal with spiritual problems. That's what we're called to. We need to set things in order so the gospel can go forth with power. We have it, scripture tells us in Corinthians, the God of this world's blinded the minds of people. We can't let them keep doing that and have a revival. God's not going to lift that veil off. We do. That's the church's job. We've been here. Jesus said, you go. You cast out devils. Don't pray to me about the devil in your life. You cast him out. See, he's telling us to do that. See, when the church got off and we're fighting all these battles, but they ain't the battle that we were told to fight. Here's this battle. We're in the middle of this thing and we're fighting, trying to go through things and do stuff. See, in Jesus, if we stay close, we stay in fellowship with Jesus, you're going to be strong. It is the nature. Moses was not weak in the presence of God. Do you know Moses didn't go up on the mountain with God and then came back? He's up there twice and that was the last time? No, he said, God, I ain't going to go anywhere without you. So God said, tell you what to do. Let's build a tent and I'll build a certain way and my presence will be in the tent and I'll go with you. Okay, I'll make a way to go with you. And you know what Moses did every evening? He went and had a couple of drinks with the boys and then went back and later on they talked and I was talking about all this. Moses would go to the tent, would go to the presence of God. And then there was this wild, crazy young man whose name was Joshua. And the scripture says when Moses would leave, he would stay in the presence of God. Do you know? Now this is something. God put that tent there for everybody. See, I don't believe Joshua was just called to that ministry. I believe Joshua chose a ministry by getting in the presence of God. Joshua would stay in the presence of God. That's what the scripture says. See, I've watched over the past 10 years in the church world of I'm just so busy. People can't go to church because they're so busy. Or they got such problems and they got this and they got that. They can't. Anything to stay away from wherever God's presence is. That's what the devil will do. The devil will do anything to keep, and if he can keep you away from the presence, he will keep you sick. He'll keep you messed up on things. This is what he wants. Why? Because the blessing of the presence. No man. Do you think there's anybody died, went to heaven, and something bad happened to him? I mean, come on! The presence of God, that's the place of blessing. That's the place God, you meet with God, dear Lord. Woo! Instead of the church of fighting to get there, we're trying to figure out ways to make excuses why we can't go. I'm so busy, Lord, I can't be blessed. I don't have time to be blessed. I got to fix my problems. Don't you know the car needs washed and this is what you do. You know, I believe in doing all those things. We need to do things around. But there's much more that we're doing that don't even really matter. We're so busy trying to keep up appearances to people. Woo! That's good preaching, isn't it? Oh, the yard didn't get mowed this week and the neighbor's unhappy. You know, watch it, we'll bale hay. I'll pray till he gets saved and he'll mow my yard. Hallelujah! Glory to God! He'll want to bless me. See, there needs to be changes made. We need to come to the place. We're going to talk about this more. We're not going to keep going on here, you know, to this. I mean, there's just so much that we could. I'm serious. I was sitting studying this week and going down through this chapter, and I'd get so fired up, I'd have to get up and walk around. God would show me stuff, and I go, oh, my God. Whew. Woo! The word gets so good. Hallelujah. And we're going to go on more to this because we're going to look, there's things that he covers here that we're going to get a good picture. Especially, the church has let the flesh dominate because they were taught to. Now see, we were told it was ugly, the flesh, what it does. But while we're in the condition that we're in, you're just going to sin. You're just going to mess up. That's what we're taught. And you know what? The church has fulfilled it. They have fulfilled that vision that's been preached. I'm going to tell you what. God has better for the church. Like I remember Kenneth Hagin, you know, talking about in 1 John, the second chapter, when it talks about if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father. He said you would never write that to the church world today. If anyone sins, you'd say when the person sins. They said if anybody sins today. You never, hey, if anybody sins in the church, dear God, the church sins the norm. You never put the word if. You know what? You're just going to miss it. You have that preached to you long enough and you hear it. And after a while, you know what? You don't expect to walk higher. The ministry put limits on us. Ministers have put limits over our head because of their weaknesses. They don't get in the presence of God and they preach their weaknesses. They set a limit over you. You don't have to accept it. But the church has accepted these things. Well, we must just go to sin because I miss it often. So this is proof. It's right. No, it isn't. You know what I always looked at it? What's wrong with Ed? Because I don't match up to the word. Why would the Apostle Paul preach all these things and say we shouldn't be doing these certain works of the flesh and that we're supposed to be the norm? Well, hold it. What nerve would he have? What nerve would that guy have to tell me to quit doing what I can? And then they misread Romans, the seventh chapter, and where Paul says, you know, when I want to do good, I don't, and all that kind of talking about. You know, Paul's talking about before he got born again. That is not about since he's a Christian. If Paul can't do right, couldn't do right, he had no authority to write to any church telling them to quit doing stuff wrong when he can't. But the church don't know the Bible. They get their religion. They don't get in the presence of God to get revelation. They just go preach nonsense. The seventh chapter is about when he was in the world, when he was a sinner, before he got saved. That wasn't Paul afterwards. Paul got saved. He wasn't the guy who couldn't quit doing what was wrong. Anybody had the nerve to tell me that I shouldn't do right and he can't? I'd look him right in the face and tell him he's a liar. Paul would have been the biggest liar in the face of the earth. He wasn't a liar. Men made him a liar. By false preaching. Taking scripture out of context. Instead of using scripture to reach us so we reach into glory, they took it and drug us back down to sin. And brought us back down to it. And the church lived in it. We preach a weak Christianity. We have a Christianity of strength. The Word says sin won't lord over you. Then how come we're just going to keep sinning? It does lord over us. As long as we're going to keep it, it's just going to be that. Whatever you yield to, that's who the slave you are. Well, you're just going to be a slave to sin. That's where you're at. I'm going to tell you, that's a lie. You don't have to stay there. Hallelujah. God's called you to glory. God's called you to glory. He didn't call you to sin. And you can rise up and walk in a place where you aren't always under the hand of sin. Where sin's not lording over you. Sin lords over most Christians and good Christians. People that want to do right, but they can't do right because right ain't preached. We preach religion. We preach a gospel, a weak gospel. You know what John G. Lake said? John G. Lake said, I preach a strong man gospel. Not here in America. America, we got the weak man gospel. And we're just glad to get by on that. He always called it the strong man's gospel. That's what the world needs, a strong man's gospel. We don't have that. We have the weak man's gospel. God ain't big enough to bring you out of sin completely. No, you're going to stay there and drag along in it till he comes back. You ain't going to have victory. No. You're not going to have victory. Not you bunch of scumbags, you know. You're just old get-bys. You know, Paul couldn't make it, so you can't either. We need to come back. I'll tell you what, we need to bring preaching back. Now, I'm going to tell you, it's going to make people uncomfortable. We need to bring preaching back from the past. From back a century ago and bring it back. Oh, to make people nervous today. I'm going to tell you what. I'll tell you, they'll stand up, they'll go on TV to criticize you and on the ministries on TV. They'll go on to criticize you for preaching. Well, now, if you come along and preach it, you know, 1 John 1:9 ain't for the church. That's for sinners. They need to confess their sin. You don't get saved confessing your sin. You get saved for confessing Christ. And poor dumb John didn't know. He wrote a letter and called them brethren. So I guess the world must be my brethren. And the church has bought this stuff, hook, line, and sinker, to preach a fake gospel that has done nothing but make the church weak. And the Christians love it. They buy the books by the millions and millions of those books. Tell you those things, and they eat him, and they like his ministry. People must love it, because I don't watch him on TV, but he's on a lot. People must love it. They must love it. I'll tell you what, I want the strong man gospel. The world needs a people who believe the strong man gospel. If it comes to the point that I don't need repentance, it's because I didn't sin. Not because you don't repent when you sin. But see, they can't. This is why they preach these gospels. The devil can bring them in because the church is so weak and full of sin, they have to make a way of escape for people to try to make them feel good. So they give them a nice fleshly way to do it. I believe our Jesus is bigger. I believe in Him we can over. I don't believe He said that we were going to overcome sin And we weren't. I don't think he lied about it. If something's wrong, I missed the mark. He never did. There's something wrong with me. And the church has not turned the finger. And by not turning the finger, you know, well, he didn't really mean this. Or he didn't really. That's not what that really meant. So I said, yeah, it did. It meant it and made me feel uncomfortable. And I had to repent again. And I had to ask God to forgive me. And now I got to get moving on here right. Hallelujah. I tell you what. Getting things set in motion, and this is why I'm just encouraging you, man, as seeing is getting into the Word of who you are in Christ. We're going to talk about it more. Getting yourself hooked up to see where you belong, your place. Why? So when you step into the presence of God, you can take a hold of situations in this nation, people's lives, and you can stand boldly. You know, it's one thing I find, taking people and say, just God, you know, I just know about how, I'm here because you told me to come here, and I'm here. And I'm here boldly because you said I was supposed to come this way. And here I is. You wouldn't have told me to come this way if I was supposed to low crawl in and, you know, kiss your feet. You didn't tell me to do that. You said come boldly. And so, Lord God, I'm coming in bold, and I'm bringing this problem, this situation, or this person, and I'm bringing them in. And you know what, God? Bible says you're full of mercy and you're full of compassion. You want to do something about this. This is power praying. This isn't coming. Oh, Lord, we got this problem. Would you please? Oh, Lord. Oh, God. Would you? Oh, please help us. Oh, my God. He sits there and looks at people and says, you don't know me at all. I'm the guy who initiated help. I'm the guy that started this thing. This help business. This blessing business. I'm the guy who started it. You don't have to ask me about it. I want to help that person. See, we talk about intercession where the God says, I was looking for an intercessor. Here, just think of it. The nation of Israel deserved destruction. And God's running around looking for a man to pray to deliver. And then Christians say, well, do you think God wants to turn America around? And I say, no, he's just trying to get you turned around. You're so stupid. God, think about it. God searched for the man to hold back judgment so he wouldn't have to bring it. God did that. What do you think God's like? Man, I want to get in his presence. That's the only place I can stay alive. That's the only place I know how to make it is in his presence. I got to get with a good guy. I don't know about you. I want to get with a good guy. We're not asking God to do things for people that he don't want to do. God wants to heal everybody on the face of this earth. That's his desire. Jesus wants, if God didn't want to do that, then Jesus was the biggest fake cross ministry that was ever done. He didn't take the infirmities of all men. He didn't do none of that. He didn't do all that stuff. He did. And this is why God calls us to his presence. Because he wants, hey, I'm the fixer. I can help you fix things. I can help you get things in order again. I can do this for you. And the church has been preached, you're just an old sinner. Why? Old sinners are never bold in the face of God. They're expecting, God, I don't expect any more of you out than a person's outside your covenant. Could I lick the crumbs off the floor? The dogs get. That's the church. The church has done nothing, and the average Christian is nothing but a crumb eater. Now, whether we like that or not, it's the truth. I'm tired of licking crumbs. I'm getting at the table. I'm getting at the table. Hallelujah. But this I know. I can take somebody that don't deserve good. And God, I know this. I saw it in the book. He gave him crumbs. Hallelujah. I can. And I'll tell you, a woman's daughter got delivered over crumbs. Hallelujah, Lord. This guy may not deserve your best, but bless him. Help him out. God, I know he knows he needs judgment. But Lord God, don't give him judgment. Help him. What do you think God will do? If you'll come boldly and you know how to, and you'll become literally concerned about other people and their situations, you watch what God will do. Amen. I'm going to tell you, we can do, you know, we thought through and handed out, and it's fine, just hand out food and stuff. We're trying to bless through handing out food when we could have done a million times more to change people's lives. Hallelujah. And they'd have been handing out the food. See, get them over on the other side doing something. Get them. And see, we can do that. I'm telling you, we can do that. Hallelujah. Why? Because we have been given a position of authority. I'll tell you what. Hallelujah. See, folks, I just want you to go crazy. You know, people are going to tell you, you know, you're out left field on this. Don't listen to people. Don't listen. You look, you get close to God, you'll become a radical. Do you know a radical today, a Christian who would be a radical today, years ago would have been a norm. Methodists 50 years ago were more spiritual than a lot of the spirit-filled people today. Oh, yeah. See, we need to identify. Wow, there's a devil been turned loose. But you know what? We're educated today. There is no devil. You know? I don't see him. Where's he at? I don't see him. No, that person needs counseling. We'll counsel the devil out of them. Oh, the devil loves counseling. In fact, he's one of the counselors at the place. And he'll come down and you can all get together and talk about your problem for the next 10 years. And you come in every week and go through your thing and trying to get things changed and trying to get changed and trying to get changed. But the whole problem is nobody gets delivered. God doesn't just change me when I come. God delivered me. We don't preach deliverance today. We preach 12-step programs. You can't get delivered by God right away. It takes a long time. You see, His power is not a lot, you know? You know, He's God. I realize He's a big deal and all that kind of stuff, but He used most of His power when He put the sun in that kind of stuff. You know, man, He's been resting up. He's been, man, trying to get His hand back again, you know? Went to sleep on Him and let's stand to our feet. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. What are we going to do? Let's take our place. God's calling you. He's not... God ain't mad at you because you missed it. God wants to fix things. I mean, just take His compassion. Well, if you did sin, come confess it. We'll cleanse you from all unrighteousness. And then we'll... You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to act like it never existed. So, I mean, is He a fix-it guy? God or what? That's what He is. And you need to see that. You need to see in any of the problems or things that you're going through. You need to look at it. You might have habits or different things that you look and you have just, you dwelled about your weaknesses. And they've kept you from the presence of God. And they should have never done that. They should have drove you to His presence. Your weaknesses, He wants them overcome with His strength, and He says, come to me. Where you in your life, and you look at yourself and say, yeah, oh man, I missed it here 10 times, and over here 57 times, and I did this. You think He's sitting up there, and He got this little calculator, and He's... I just think, well, He won't have time to check on you guys, He's busy with me. So you're probably getting away with stuff. Because He's like, I did, but holy stop. No. His love still cries out, I want to help you. Come to me, all you that are laden. Are you laden? Are there things in your life that you're laden with? Come to me, all you that labor and heavy. Have you been laboring at things? Now, maybe He didn't mean it. Maybe He just said all that. It was a nice conversation piece. You know? He said, I'll give you what? Rest. How many of you need some rest? After this past year of fussing and fighting and carrying on, it's time for the church to come to rest. It's the time for us to come to rest. And that's only in one place. It's in Christ Jesus. He said, what? Take my yoke upon me. Because it's a real drag. And it's just going to be, see, people put up the cross that we, I have this cross to bear. That has been so put out of whatever. My cross to bear. I ain't carrying my sin around or that stuff. You know the cross that I bear? It's the cross of love. That's what the cross is. The cross you bear is the cross of love. Bringing others in. Getting a hold of others and helping them. Praying for others. The cross. And He said, what's the yoke? Is it hard, heavy? My yoke is easy. And my burden's light. See, love will make things work. Love drives us. You know, the Bible talks about love compelling us. When you hook up with love, it compels you to things. It compels you to something. Never. We know that today people know nothing about love because love to them is something they're trying to get. And they look at love as love is, it's about me. It's about me. No. Love reaches and looks at the other and says, man, that situation, we got to do something. We got to get love on the spot there on that thing. We want to help change that. Amen. That person's in. They're messing up. They're out here. You know what? And I know they've done miserable things and they deserve punishment, Lord. But Lord God, love compels me to ask you to bless them. Love compels me to ask you to help them, Lord God. Lord, I know they missed it. They deserve judgment. Oh yeah, yeah. They deserve to reap what they sowed. But you didn't do that to me. No, your love. You see, there are people in this nation, and there are people who don't, and Christians, who don't want to see this nation turned around. They're mad at the Democrats, and they're mad at this person, and they're mad at that person, and they see all the done wrong. These people sitting around, and they look at people, and the abortion thing. God don't look at it the way we do. God still wants to show mercy. He hates abortion, but you know what? He still loves people. And you know what he wants to do? He wants to forgive every one of them. Amen. He wants to blot that transgression out completely. That's what he wants to do. That's what he's looking for. I want a move of God because I want transgressions removed. I want blessing to flow. I want Pentecost back. I want the glory that makes the religious nervous. That just makes them complain like crazy. While the people that have been held under bondage with them run to Jesus. Hallelujah. That's what I want. Hallelujah. And I'm going to tell you what. Stick around and your eyes will see it. Your eyes will see the glory. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Father, I'm just so grateful to you today, Lord God. You're so wonderful and good. You're incredible. You're absolutely marvelous. And Lord God, we haven't told people nearly how good you are. You're better. You're better than we understand. Hallelujah. But I want to thank you that you're opening up the eyes of our understanding and you're lightening our hearts, Lord God. Lord, and you're rising up in us. Your anointing is rising up in us. Lord God, you're bringing us to a place of strength. Strength, Lord God, where your strength and your ability works in us. Lord God, and we need it. Lord God, there's no way that we could perform or do what needs to be done in these last days because, Lord God, the Christian life is a supernatural life. And it requires power outside of human power. But Lord God, you're not lacking. You're not lacking in power. Hallelujah. You're not lacking in ability. And another one of the most wonderful things about it all is you're not selfish. You freely give your power. You freely hand us things. You freely put things into our hands. Lord, when I look down through the history of man and see your glory and what you did through humanity, phenomenal, phenomenal things. Lord God. Hallelujah. Reaching out to bless man. And Father God, we're in this day and time. And Lord God, you haven't given up on our land or the nations of this earth. You haven't given up on them. The word says where sin abounds, grace does much more abound. Lord God, I believe that's true. I believe grace will much more abound in these days and time than it ever has on the face of this earth. I believe grace will abound in such magnitude that we will marvel ourselves at the glory that will be revealed. Hallelujah. Oh, my. People are yelling about the sin and how bad it is. Hallelujah. But Lord God, I see grace. I see the grace of God that's great. Hallelujah. Lord God, I see Your fire burning and heading toward mankind. Lord God, Your fire falling upon Your people and glory being revealed in the earth. That's what I see. Lord God, I just want to thank You. I thank You, Father God. There's a place and a part for all of us in this. Hallelujah. There's well enough glory to go around. And I thank You, Father God, You're revealing it to us. You're showing us and You're calling us to step in. Lord God, we didn't call ourselves to step in. You called us. You called us to glory, Lord God. You beckoned us. Lord God, we were pretty well happy on our own path. But Lord God, You brought discontent to our hearts because You put us in us a desire for more of You. And Lord God, I'm after that desire. I tasted and the Lord is good. I tasted and the Lord is good. And Lord God, I haven't had enough. Lord, I had some taste. But Lord God, Lord, it's like a drug. I gotta have some more. I gotta have some more. Oh Lord God, Your goodness is addicting. Hallelujah. Your grace and mercy, it's addicting, Lord God. Hallelujah. And Lord God, we're just going to take bites after bite, after bite, after bite. Lord God, we're being transformed. Amen. Taken from glory to glory in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Abreshko mananokila, bomreste de feria toshe mianako, bratuna fasea la lakutina kayanda, bebreto fefeske la kotishi liatotika namanya, beto de geshilia, goshenda boya, goshilia tashia shishi. For this place and this time I have set, says the Lord, for I have spoken in my word about the days of the end and what shall come. And my people, many have focused on the darkness of the hour, for surely the darkness of the hour is great. And that darkness will eventually grow darker and darker. But I also have shown on my word of the light upon my people and the glory that shall come in this hour and shall be revealed. And I say to you today, look at the light. Look at the light. Look at the light, and not at the darkness, for it is the darkness that will not bring forth anything but evil and wickedness. Look toward the light, hallelujah, and my light shall shine upon you, and it shall change you, and you will be changed into the image of my glory, and that glory will shine upon the face of men as you go out among them. For I am sending you forth, says the Lord. For I am sending you out. I have chosen you and put you where you are today. And I am sending you out. It is my anointing upon you. I am working. Look to me. For many are trying to draw people aside. But you look to me in this day and hour and rejoice and be glad. For I will take you where your desire is to go. For I have put that desire in you. And I will take you to that place and you will walk in it. For there are things that I have not shown you, that I have not shown others, and I have not shown even to anyone in the church. For there is a glory to come that is outside the ability of men to understand or comprehend, and it will be shown. And that glory comes forth. Men will be absolutely stunned on the face of this earth, because I am reaching, says the Lord. I have a harvest for this day and time, and I am going to take it. And men will, who oppose me will be in great problem and great trouble. For I am reaching out, says the Lord, because there's a need for my grace to go forth, and it will go forth, and my glory shall shine, and all shall marvel and say that there is a God in heaven. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Lord God. Thank you for your kindness and mercy. Thank you for your great love. Thank you, Lord God. Hallelujah. Oh, Lord God. Hallelujah. Oh, the treasures and the things that you have planned, Lord God. The things, Lord God. Hallelujah. Lord God, it's a great adventure. And Lord God, I'm looking forward to going along in this venture. Hallelujah. I'm looking forward to being a part of this. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus. 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 Hallelujah. 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 Hallelujah.